The Hebrew word for door is mezuzah. And if you go into any house in Israel and Jewish homes in America, you'll see this little case on their doorpost, little mezuzah case. And inside it is the Shema. It's written down in there. These words are written.
God's Word is loaded with hidden truths that can only be revealed when we truly understand the root meaning of Hebrew words. Join Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim for Hebrew School, next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland. I've got my good friend Billy Brim here from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, and she is conducting Hebrew school this week.
Yes, Hebrew school.
From Missouri, she's conducting Hebrew school, and we're liking it. We're learning some things. So you just sit down and enjoy this, and of course you can get these broadcasts later if you miss some. But Billy's also got some things to offer you at the end of the broadcast that'll help you, and you can have some fun all by yourself.
Yes, you can. Mm-hmm. And you can just see some light from the Scripture. And, you know, I love the Hebrew greeting. This has been the Hebrew greeting from the time of the Bible. We'll have a day when we go into that, maybe tomorrow.
Okay.
But it's shalom.
Shalom.
And it means the peace that comes from being whole.
The peace.
Every time you greet someone, you say shalom. And on my radio broadcasts, I always begin them with shalom. I wish we greeted each other with that greeting. Isn't that a nice greeting?
Yes, it is.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. And then
I receive it.
Yes, bless the Lord. And how did I get to be this great Hebrew scholar? I'm not a great Hebrew scholar. I'm just a simple little Hebrew student. And I can, like Gloria said, if the people in Israel are watching, they know how elementary all this is. But with folks like Gloria, you know, they don't know.
It sounds great. I'm impressed. Hey, I'm impressed.
So anyway, but I'll tell you what Hebrew I do have is pretty good pronunciation because I studied at a great Hebrew school, Ulpan Akiva. And though my knowledge is limited, the words I know, I usually say them correctly. But when I was deciding, the Lord told me, I prayed. My husband moved to heaven in 1986. I was down praying what to do. And the Lord impressed upon me to go study Hebrew in the land. I made all the arrangements to go to what was recommended to me as the best Hebrew school. You know, David Brog with CUFI, mm-hmm, he went to the same Hebrew school.
He did.
Yes, he did. And so we are classmates, you know. I mean, he went to Yale, but we won't bring that up.
Okay. you missed that part.
Yeah, I missed that part. But the Ulpan Akiva part, that I went to. I heard about this best school, got enrolled at this best school. I was told they won't accept you because the lady who founded the school has had some trouble with some Christians, and she won't accept you. But she did accept me.
And she loved you.
And she loved me eventually. After a short war, she loved me. And I'll tell you about the war today. Show you her picture, too. But anyway, I was making my arrangements, had them all arranged, and then I got an invitation to go someplace, a church. You know, like Yonggi Cho's church was the biggest in the world. There was a church in Sweden that was for many years the biggest in the world, Levi Petrus. And I got an invitation to go to that church. And I knew it from studying history. And so I said, and it was the same time that I was enrolled in the Hebrew school. And so I thought, whoa, this is a big deal. I'm going to go to this and forget about the Hebrew study. And I went down to pray. I would kneel down by my blue chair at home to pray. And my Bible was just open like this. And I happened to see what it was open to. Now, I don't do flop and stops. I don't just say, I'm going to, you know. But that day, it was open here. And I read down here, and I had this very Bible, not this very same one, but the very, it is called the Hebrew, what is this called? The Comparative Study Bible. And it's got four translations across the page. It's got King James, Amplified, New American, and New International. And so I had it there, and I'm reading in the King James. Well, let's see where it opened. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. That cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth.
Mm.
Ooh, well, that was pretty strong in the King James, but here it is in the New American.
"Woe to the rebellious children, declares the Lord, who execute a plan, but not mine, and make an alliance, but not of my spirit, in order to add sin to sin, who proceed down to Egypt without consulting me." So here I was about to fly off over to Sweden without consulting God. And I mean, he jerked me up right there by my blue chair. And he showed me a little mini vision. And I saw myself in Sweden preaching with no anointing. And it was just like scary. And then the Lord said, here would be your sin to sin. You would not be in the right place over in, you'd be in the wrong place over in Sweden. But your other sin is you're not in the right place over in Israel. Sin to sin. Ooh, that jerked me up. I made my reservations and I headed off for Opanakiva. I headed off to go to school. I had children in college, four children in college, in fact.
You were a widow.
I was a widow and I started off... Well, they had been four in college. I started off to go to Opanakiva to the school.
And you were a blessed widow.
I was blessed. I didn't really know it at the time, but I was very blessed because when I got to the school, it looked like a little... I was told it was like the Harvard of language schools. It looked like a little Casablanca hotel. And and I checked in at night, and there was some kind of all kinds of people, and they put me... way out in a...
You probably weren't all that popular.
The school wasn't on it. It was not a daytime school. It was also a hotel. It operated as a hotel as well. And it was a holiday, and it was kind of like a grade B hotel. And they stuck me way out. They didn't have no room in the inn. There was no room in the inn. They stuck me way out with the Palestinian workers out in a little room. I couldn't figure out how to flush the...
What are I doing
how to
here,
flush
Lord?
The potty. I mean, you had to have a red bucket there and get water and put it down the stool. And I thought, dear God, what have I gotten myself into? But the next morning with the morning light came revelation. And I could see over there.
You found out what to do with the bucket. Okay.
Yeah. I found out over there at the side was the school. And the school, and we're going to have a Hebrew language and a Hebrew study center in Israel. And it works good for a school to operate with a hotel.
Yeah.
Because the school, we got our classes over at the side, Opanakiva. They moved me into another room for my dormitory room. And then I saw with the morning light, I went to orientation. And so they had orientation. They had all the people sit in a circle. And in stomps this little woman. She looks like a little goat in my ear. She stomps in there. And she's very authoritative. And she said, she went around that room, every person, and she wanted to know who you are and why you're here studying Hebrew. Well, there were a lot of doctors from Egypt, Gaza, and they were Arabic. There were other Arabs. There were some Jews come home. One had escaped Ayatollah Khomeini. One was from Canada, wherever. And then here I am told that she won't accept Christians because we've been having trouble with them. And she says, who are you and why are you here to study Hebrew? And I said, she said, what do you do? And I said, I'm a teacher. And she said, what do you teach? And I said, history.
Billy, you are waxing.
Well, this is history now, I'm telling you. It's not a history book. It's the plan of God, but it is history. And so anyway, she figured me out right away. And it seemed like she just took out after me, you know. So it got down to be Sukkot.
She picked on you?
Oh, she picked on me really bad. And found out that she and her family were involved in the Independence War of Israel in 1948. And she was a spy, like, for the underground, hardcore underground army. And she took out on me. She had her spy blood out on me. And it came Sukkot, which is the Feast of Tabernacles. And all of the school met out in this sukkah outside and took our meals. And they invited in language professors from Hebrew University. And she gave me a tongue twister to say. Now, my husband had only died in June. This is over in the fall. And if God hadn't helped me, I never would have been able to say that tongue twister. But I said it. And when I said it, I cried. I broke down crying. And I still go around in Israel and people would say, I was there in the sukkah that day when they, and they all got on my side and they knew Shulamit was trying to get me. Well, I thought, I'm
going. Could you just tell us that tongue twister?
No, I can't. I couldn't say it again. My life depended on it. And God helped me, and I don't want to, you know, dare God to have to help me again.
You think that might be sacrilegious?
In fact, I don't even want to think about that tongue twister.
And so the next day, I thought, I am going to get expelled from school. And my children...
But you actually did it. You could do it.
I said it. But by God. God had to visit
to
me.
Say
he
it.
Helped
okay.
me to say it. And then and the whole everybody got on my side and kind of against Shulamit for putting me on the spot like that. They all knew my husband passed
mercy.
Away. And so I thought, uh-oh, I am going to get expelled from this school. And I'm going to have to tell my children, because I always tell them, when you get home, if you get in trouble in school, when you come home, you'll be in trouble again. And so I thought, I am going to have to tell them that their mother got expelled from school. So the next day, they come and knock on the door of my classroom. Shulamit wants to see you in her office. Yes,
uh-oh,
I
here
thought
it comes.
So. So I go to Shulamit's office, and she says to me, you're not going to class today. I said, yes, I figured that. She said, you're going with me. She said, I'm going to the Knesset. That's the parliament. She said, they're about to cut off my funds for doing the program whereby she taught Israeli officers Arabic. It was a language school where you could learn Arabic or you could learn Hebrew. And she said, they're trying to cut off my funds. And the government pays me for this program, and our army needs it. And she said, you're going to go with me to the office of the treasurer. I went to kindergarten with him, she said. I've known him since he was 5 years old. And he's over the treasury of Israel right now. The treasury of Israel.
This is like your second day there?
Well, no. I've been there for
You've
a while.
You've been there for a
but
while
But this is
now.
The next day after the confrontation in the,
oh,
in the sukkah. And the next day after, I thought she's going to throw me out. And she said, you're going to go with me to the parliament. And she said, didn't you know that any Jew that had anything to do with the rebirth of Israel had a dedicated Christian called alongside to help them? I thought, boy, you could have fooled me. I didn't know you felt that way. I didn't know about Theodore Herzl and the minister that helped him. I didn't know about the minister that helped Eliezer ben Yehuda when they revived the language. I didn't know all those things. I've learned them since. She said, something told me in the nighttime, you're going to help me. Well, she was
something
just testing me.
Something
told her in the nighttime.
Wow.
She said, you're going to help me. And she had been testing me because she knew there were different types of Christians. Some of them would carry you off to the Holocaust and burn you in the oven under the sign of the cross.
Yeah, right.
Or they would come in the Crusades and rip your bowels out. But she knew there were dedicated Christians who weren't like that. And she'd been testing me, and she decided what kind I was. And from then on, Shulamit and I were just like this. She was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize twice. I walked with her all through that. And we were dear, dear best friends and respected each other. Now, the Lord told me when I was down by that blue chair and I was praying and I was about to miss it, he said, I could teach you that language like this, but there are people I want you to meet and experiences I want you to have. He said, I am going to place you close to the Jews. Through Shulamit Katz Nelson in the beginning, because her brother was the minister of, he's like the attorney general. His name is Shmuel Tamir at that time. Her uncle was like the second president of the country. Her family were founders of the nation. And God just put me right in
the
with
them. The master plan was
and
working.
And she put me right in with them when her brother died. I stood at his funeral with the family. At that time, Israel had two prime ministers. They walked right in front of me. And it was just amazing. From then on, I've known prime ministers. I've sat with prime ministers. I sat with Ariel Sharon and read the scriptures of prophecy with him. In the United States, things like that don't happen to me. You see, God has a master plan for your life.
That's right.
And he was showing me by that blue chair, don't you get off over here, go down to Egypt, go over to Sweden. You do what I told you to do.
Right.
And
plan,
so I
plan.
Did. I stayed on the plan for God. Now, I studied... she was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize because of what a marvelous school she ran. And she taught you Hebrew with your feet. You would learn dancing. And you would learn to count to four. Ahat, shtayim, shalosh, arba, while you're dancing.
Yeah.
And then she would teach you Hebrew with your feet. She would take you on a tour, you know, of all the mountains. And you learn the land of Israel. And you would have... you would learn all these things, and I remember learning things in Hebrew and just blessing me so. And I want you to, some of the things I learned in the beginning, I want you to look with me now. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I learned concerning this great and marvelous Hebrew language how long the Jews have been writing. And in Hebrews chapter 6, excuse me, Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're talking about the Hebrews. This is Moses. You remember, he got the Torah. He wrote all this down, and he did it in that wonderful language of Hebrew with those letters that are so signs even from God. And so they're about to come into the land. Hebrews chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go in to possess it. Remember that the children of Israel were 40 years in the wilderness, but they're going to go into the land. And Moses said, now here, when you get into the land, this is going to be what brings you blessing. Verse 3, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do, that it may be well with thee, that you may increase mightily. God's blessing is increase.
That's right.
As the Lord God of your fathers has promised you in the land that flows with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. That's called the Shema. Because when you, verse 4, in the way you say that in Hebrew is, Shema, Yisrael, listen, Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. That is called the Shema. Jews say the Shema every morning and every evening. And on many other occasions, they say, Shema, Yisrael, the Lord our God is one Lord. Mm-hmm. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Now, look at verse 7. Verse 6. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently unto your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. In other words, you talk about them all the day long. You shall bind them for a sign upon your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them upon the posts of your house and on your gates. You shall write them. Moses is 3,500 years ago telling the Jews to write these, the Shema, and put it on their door. The Hebrew word for door is mezuzah. And if you go into any house in Israel and Jewish homes in America, you'll see this little case on their doorpost, little mezuzah case. And inside it is this Shema. It's written down in there. These words are written and put in that little case. Now, these words are very, very important words. These words, our Lord in Matthew chapter 22... Turn to Matthew chapter 22. He knew them. He grew up. Jesus grew up a Jewish boy. And so someone came to him one day and they said, this is Matthew 22:36. Rabbi, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. And of course, you've heard Kenneth Copeland talk about the hanging of everything upon these two commandments. This was so important that the Lord told them through Moses, you write these down and you put them on your doorpost. Now, when the Jews come into their houses every day, they touch that mezuzah, and they recognize what it says in here. But my point is to you, they could write.
Point of contact.
Yeah, but they could write. 3,500 years ago, Jews could write.
Wow.
Now, our ancestors from Europe, it's only been a couple hundred years or so that our ancestors, by and large, could write. And so the language of the book is Hebrew, and the people that God gave the commandment to write it could write. And there were some other scriptures that they could write. We're going to talk about tomorrow. Going to tie right into here that they put up on their doorposts. Well, let's just go over there now to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11, they're still going into the promised land. And God says to them there, the land that you go into is not like the land you came out of. The land that you came out of drinks water, has a Nile River where you use your feet. And you have this, the Nile River rises and lowers, and that's what waters Egypt.
Here
but
again.
You're going into a land that's different. Verse 13, Deuteronomy 11, 13. Well, we start with 11, 11. The land whither you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys that drinks water of the rain of heaven. And so then he goes down and tells them in verse 14, if you obey me, I will give you the rain of your land in its due season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your corn, your wine, and your oil, if you obey me. And then he tells them in verse 19, these words in verse 20, you shall write upon the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Mm. So there were two passages that he told them to write and put in that Azusa. They were to put in there the Shema, which gave them the great commandments. You shall worship the Lord your God with all your heart. And then you put in this about the rains. And tomorrow we'll start with these rains and what spiritually they represent. And the rains come in their right seasons. Bless the Lord. I will give them to you if you obey me. You write these down. The Hebrews could write. We have the book where God put his thoughts on paper.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. And they could write, and they could put it in their doorposts, and they could put it into scrolls and books for us. Thank God. And remember what it says in Romans chapter 3. What advantage is it to be a Jew? And Paul said, much in every way, chiefly, number one, committed to them were the oracles of God. And they were committed in the Hebrew alphabet. Right. And that alphabet and its words are intricately woven to reveal to us God.
Praise God. Glory to God. Billy and I'll be right back.
It is God's language. It is His Word. It is His thoughts spoken and written to us. It is the Hebrew language, the revelation and the light of God.
It is Hebrew that was used by God to convey His will and His ways, His laws, and His insights.
Begin your journey to discover deeper revelations in God's Word with the Treasures in the Hebrew Language package. Find out why it's so important to study Hebrew, learn key words, and start writing Hebrew letters as you watch the DVD Elementary Hebrew Lesson 1, The Alphabet. Enjoy singing the Alphabet song also included with the DVD. Then add more to your newfound knowledge with the books How the Hebrew Language Grew by Edward Horowitz and The Secret of Hebrew Words by Benjamin Black. Order the Treasures in the Hebrew Language package today and step into a whole new realm of revelation for your life. Order the Treasures in the Hebrew Language package today for only $55, an excellent resource for your personal study that will give you more insight into the Word of God and a deeper understanding of the Jewish culture. Purchase this four-product package online through our website at kcm.org or call toll-free 800-575-4455. You may also write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Order today.
Billy, share with us our offer in for the Hebrew language.
Right. We're calling it Treasures in the Hebrew Language Package. And there are treasures in the Hebrew language. Now, at Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, we have schools. And in our schools, where the last one, we got to study the book of Ezekiel for a whole week. And we may do Daniel next. That's what I'm praying about right now. But we always start out with a smattering of Hebrew, elementary Hebrew. And from our very first school, we put together for this television broadcast, elementary Hebrew, the alphabet. And we're teaching several sessions in this by DVD so that you can see the signs and see me writing on the board and giving some treasures from Hebrew. We also have this good book, How the Hebrew Language Grew. We're going to be talking about Shalom tomorrow, and you'll see how the word wheel works. Uh-huh. And then we have Secrets of Hebrew Words. It's going to have in there about the word emet, the word for truth that starts with aleph, ends with tav, and has the mem in the middle. That Hebrew language is for portraying the truth of God.
Amen.
You're going to want that. You'll enjoy that. And you want to plan to go to Billy's school. She has every year, which we don't have the date, but we will give you. You can always get it on her internet
site. It'll probably be posted by the time they go
on. By the time? Okay. Mm-hmm. So tell them what it is.
It's going to be a school.
Our
website is BillyBrim, BillyBrim.org, O-R-G, BillyBrim.org.
And that it'll be posted on there when she's going to have it. Today is the day of salvation. Jesus has already come. He's already paid the price. If you've never made him the Lord of your life, you just do it right now and say, Jesus, I receive you as the Lord of my life. Take my life. This is what I said. Take my life and do something with it.
I believe
Jesus
he did.
Wants you. He died for you. He loves you. He's got blessings for you. And if you prayed that prayer today for the first time, we've got a salvation package, books and things we want to send you. And so just write us. We'll send them to you free. Get in your Bible. Watch the Believer's Voice of Victory and other people that preach the word on television. God's got a master plan for your life. And he wants you in that plan. And I'm telling you, it's a good plan. I've never known anybody that regretted getting
following
in
God.
The plan of God for their lives. It's so more wonderful than anything you can do on your own. So we want to give you those things. We want to bless you for it, for coming in. We want you to grow. You know, you've got to grow. You're a baby now, but you can grow up on the Word of God. See you tomorrow. This is Gloria and Billy. Reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, take the next step toward understanding who you are in Christ. Request your free salvation package online at kcm.org. 5 free books that will help you begin your exciting new walk with God. This is the year of the fullness of blessing, your year to receive the blessing without measure.
God's got parts. He can give you a new heart or new kidneys or new anything else. This is the day of miracles and healing.
I'm moved by what I believe, and I believe what God has said. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our righteousness. Hallelujah.
2008 has been an exciting season of meetings, but it's not over yet. Jump into the deeper things of God at the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland November 13th through the 15th at Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. Jump into the fullness of the blessing and walk out all God has for you. To find out more, visit kcm.org or call 1-800-600-7395.
Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Everything about God's Word means something. And I love every little piece, every little morsel, every little bite I can get of what God had in mind.